table. Its pages are worn and hard to read, but that family Bible on the table will always be my key to memory.
I can see us sitting around the table.
Everyone, welcome to another Today's Health Update. I am Roy Williams, the guru of good health, the superintendent of supplementation. Hoping you're having a great start to your week. Of course, it is Monday, and you know what I do on Mondays? I do Monday school. For those of you that are new to these stations and listening to this maybe for the first time or first few times, it started as a result of COVID. It really did. I was teaching Sunday school in my church, and the problem was the church voted and decided to shut down through COVID. I was really disappointed. I think that's a little bit about putting your faith in science instead of putting your faith in God. So I kind of thought, well, what am I going to do with my Sunday school class? Because they all wanted to continue to be taught the Word of God. So I said, I tell you what, I'm going to start doing it as Monday school on my radio shows, Today's Health Update, and I told them how to tune in and listen, and man, has it ever become a hit. Now, every Monday, I dedicate to the Word of God. I put God first in my life anyway. I've told y'all that over and over again. I think everybody should. You know, God don't ask too much of us, but He does want us to read His Word, and He does want us to understand His Word. And I'm telling you, we live in some precarious times right now. And when I say that, I'm not being funny or anything. It's treacherous out there. There's some things going on now that all of us should be concerned about. And one of them is, you know, we're what I would say in the end times. Now, I know every generation before us has thought the same thing, but, you know, if you go back to the New Testament and you start reading what, when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, how will we know when this time is coming? How will we be able to recognize it? It's more or less what they were asking him. Now, I'm using my own words, of course. And Jesus said, that before the end of time, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. It's amazing if you watch the news now what's going on. I mean, there's threats of war broke out all over the world. They're talking World War III right now. So there's wars, there's rumors of wars. I challenge any of you that don't believe in the earthquake thing that's going on. You probably don't even understand because they're not going to report it on the national media. But if you pull up the earthquake reporting systems and you start checking to see where all earthquakes are happening all over the world, it'll blow your mind. Earthquakes in diverse places, you know, pestilences. What do you call COVID but a pestilence? And it's man-made pestilence. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But he says, Jesus says, when these things are happening, the time is not yet. So we're not there yet. We're not here for the advent, the second advent. The first advent's when Christ was born on this earth. And the second advent is when he returns. And he's going to return. He's going to set foot right there in Jerusalem. But before he does that, you better understand the truth. And the truth is, as the Bible points out very clearly, is that Satan is the number 666. And it tells you in Revelation, it tells you in Daniel, it tells you in Ezekiel, it tells you all these places in the Bible that first Satan comes. He comes calling himself Jesus. He's going to look like Christ, act like Christ. He's going to speak words that make you think he's Jesus Christ. He's going to perform miracles, snap his fingers, and fire fly from heaven. Don't think he's not. He's going to be a very powerful entity. He is not human. He's not flesh and blood. And somebody asked me if I thought the Antichrist had been born yet. Satan will never be born of woman. He refused to be born of woman. Him and the ones that have come to earth and got with the Hebrew women and the Nephilim were the result of it. Giants, Gebers, so Christ warned us, says these are the things that will happen. He says before it's time, but he says, when will you know it's time? When will you know it's time? When will you know? He says, matter of fact, Jesus gave that one explanation in the Bible that says, when you hear that he's out in the wilderness or out in the desert, it is Jesus out in the desert. He says, whatever you do, don't go. I have people tell me they can't wait for the rapture. Are you kidding me? The rapture, we're not going anywhere. If you believe the word of God, and I have to believe that you do if you call yourself Christian, you got to understand something. Rapture's not even mentioned in the Bible. That is a man's traditions. That's a made-up story from a woman that was half crazy. McDonald was her last name. You look this up. And it had never been heard of. Raptured, never been heard of. The being taken away had never been heard of until this woman in the 1800s put that garbage out. And two preachers ran with it saying, man, we'll have every one of our followers in church listening to everything we say because we can teach them. You don't have to understand Revelation. You don't have to understand the Word of God because all the Christians are going to be raptured away. Y'all, that's not true. If you believe that, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. If you believe that when Satan comes looking like Christ, talking like Christ, acting like Christ, doing these miracles, let me tell you what, you're liable to get in bed with Satan. And you better remember that Christ is coming back looking for a chaste virgin. Now, that's not physical, that's spiritual. He is not going to tolerate you following Satan. And if you follow Satan thinking that he's the Christ, you're going to follow him straight into the fire. And you don't want to do that. So to make that clear, we're going to start teaching now. I've finished up Proverbs. I'm going to start teaching 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And the theme of this teaching, these next few weeks as I teach through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, is busting the rapture theory. Now, I know there's people out there probably listening to me thinking, what, you're crazy. There's a rapture. I've been taught that my whole life. Listen, don't you want to know the truth? I can't find anybody that believes in the rapture theory can show it to me in the Bible except they turn to this 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and that's not what it says. That's not what it says. I'm going to prove that to you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I want you to know the truth. Why? Because Jesus also told us that the truth would set us free. If you believe that, and I certainly do, then you better remember something else. The lies that you believe will hold you in bondage. And who is Satan? Who is the Antichrist? Who is the demon? Who is the serpent? Who is death? It's Satan. And Christ even said he's the first liar, the original liar. He's also his child, Cain, is the first murderer. You don't want to listen to nothing he has to say because he wants to be on the mercy seat. He wants to take God's place. He tried to destroy the bloodline that Jesus Christ would come through. Remember, Christ had to be born in a perfect bloodline. What does that mean? That means that it had to be from Adam and Eve, right through to right on through to Noah, and from Noah to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from that all the way down to David, and from David all the way to Jesus Christ. A perfect bloodline, and he tried everything he could to destroy that bloodline. Why do you think the Nephilim were born on this earth? It was simply a way to try to destroy the Hebrew bloodline, because the Hebrew, the Israeli people, actually the Hebrew people is what it boils down to, are God's chosen people. What does that mean, God's chosen? Don't mean they're better than any other race. That's not what it means at all. It simply means that it was the bloodline that Christ would be born in. And what did he require of every sacrifice? What did God require? It had to be without blemish, perfect and without blemish. What does that mean? That means a pure bloodline, no mixtures, no deformities, nothing. What are the Nephilim? The Nephilim were the result of the fallen angels liking the beautiful Hebrew women and coming down here and breeding with them. I don't know any other way to say it. Breeding with them, marrying them, taking them in marriage and breeding with them to try to make sure that there was no bloodline left for Christ to be born in. And guess what? They almost succeeded. As a matter of fact, why was Noah's flood? Why did that flood happen? You read it. It's right there in Genesis. You can't deny it. It's right there. It tells you why that flood was because so many people had got in bed with Satan, so many of the women, that what happened? Well, it's pretty clear what happened. They started having children, and the results were giants, Gebers. God don't like that. But they did it. The only perfect family, you can read it, was Noah's family. Him, his wife, and his three boys and their wives were the only ones that had not got in bed, let's call it, with Satan or that bloodline. The fallen angels is really what it was. They got in bed trying to destroy that bloodline. So what did God do? The first flood was not Noah's flood. That was the second flood. The first flood happens in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I'll explain that another day, or you can go back to the things I've taught on this radio show and you can listen to me teach Genesis. It will blow your mind when you realize the truth. But so the flood happened, and he drowned all of the everybody except Noah in this bloodline. Everybody in this bloodline except Noah, his wife, those three boys, their three boys, and their wives. They were all on the ark. But guess who else was on the ark? Every other race. You go, what? Well, where do you think the races come from? People have asked me my whole life, where did the other races come from if Adam and Eve were the two original and only people? Well, they weren't the only ones. Read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. That was the sixth-day man. On the sixth day, God says, let us make man and woman in our image. You look just like you right now, at age 30 anyway, when you're about age 30 to 33, what you looked like then was exactly like what you looked like in the first earth age. And since one-third of the entire population in the first earth age turned and followed Satan, God said, I'm going to destroy it and I'm going to start it over again and require every soul, See, all the souls were created at the same time. And every race was created at the same time. Every race. And so on the sixth day when he said, I'm going to make man and woman in our image, so we're exact replicas of what we were then. He says, but basically what the Hebrew manuscripts tell you is all people are then born through water. That means of a woman. That's why the fallen angels are doomed to die. They are doomed. They will never have a place in heaven. Why? Because they left their habitat. They left their habitat, and they moved and decided to come to earth and destroy the bloodline that Jesus Christ would come through, and that's exactly what happened. Now, see, all this stuff is like a puzzle. The pieces of the puzzle will come together, trust me. So as I teach right through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I want you to pay real close attention and make up your own mind. Don't let some so-called preacher out there, some called Bible scholar, some so-called teacher of the Word of God out there, don't let them convince you of something. Anytime you listen to somebody teaching the Word of God, including me, you need to go to the Bible and see if that's what it says. There's so much man's tradition. What does Jesus said? You teach man's traditions, making void the Word of God. That's exactly what's happening. We're in those end times, and Satan's on a rampage, and he's trying to make sure that you don't get the true message of God. He's trying to make sure that you get their message, Satan's message, and you follow him in those last days. Because remember, Satan literally believes that if he can get more people to follow him than follow God, that some way God's going to relinquish and he's going to be the one in power. That will never happen. Satan would never be. Who in the world would want a liar, a murderer, an adulterer, a horrible person? His whole thing is lies and cheating and stealing and killing. Who wants him for power? You want a loving God. We've got a loving God. So I wanted to open the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians with those words, and to continue to open it up today, and then I'll start teaching right from the Word of God. I want to tell you a little bit about 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. All right, let's busting the rapture theory. If you go through me with this, you'll understand why I call it busting the rapture theory. So even if you believe in the rapture, but you want to be sure you know the truth, listen in. I always challenge people, if you can prove I'm wrong in what I'm teaching, I'll be the first one to get on this radio show and tell everybody I was wrong. I will apologize for being wrong, and you know what else I'll do? I'll start teaching the truth. But you better be sure you can back what you're going to tell me about the Bible with the Bible. I don't want to hear what some scholar thinks or some teacher thinks. I want to know what the Word of God says. Christ says, behold, I have told you all things. There's nothing left out when you consider all of it. So listen to this show today, and then we'll get into some serious teachings about the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians as we go. Busting the rapture theory. You see, Paul wrote more books in the New Testament than any other author. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were written to help those young believers. Why do we call them young believers? Because remember, 53 A.D. is when 1st Thessalonians was written, 53 years after the death of Christ. So they're young believers. The church is a young thing. It's just getting off the ground. It's just getting started. So remember, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were written to help those young believers understand what could be expected for a true believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving you exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, so you'll understand. So remember, at that time, Christianity was a new faith and a completely new way of life with instructions on how to live as a Christian in the flesh. We're in the flesh age. You remember, the Bible even teaches us the flesh is weak. Yeah, but the soul's not. It's not weak like the flesh is. And that's why they say that. It helps to remember that 1 Thessalonians was Peter's first letter, written around 53 A.D., and 2 Thessalonians was written shortly thereafter, before 80 A.D. Paul helps us to understand that the dead are not in a hole in the ground. Do you? I've had people tell me, "Oh, my mom's just waiting in the ground for the rapture, and then that grave's going to pop open." What are you talking about? When you're through with the flesh, it's over. You get one chance. You appointed a man once to die. Talking about the flesh. Okay, there is a second death. You don't want a part of that. Trust me. Let me start again. Paul helps us understand that the dead are not in a hole in the ground. They're not dead out there waiting for Christ. It helps understand that Christ set a perfect example of what happens after death. 2 Thessalonians was apparently written to help clear up some false teachings that come up after his first letter and to make sure they understood the order in which things would occur before the second advent. In other words, before Christ returns. Many people are under the impression that after death, you're in the grave waiting for the resurrection. Do you believe that? Your physical body will come out of the grave, and in your physical body, you'll be in heaven with God through eternity? Is that what you believe? The Bible don't teach that. Do you know the chronological order of what happens before Christ returns? Do you believe in the rapture theory? These and other questions will be answered as we work our way through the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I'm sure that many of you will be surprised by what you learn from these letters written by Paul. It is my prayer and my belief that as you truly understand the message, that it will give you peace of mind and confidence in these end times. All right, to help you get to the true message from Paul's writings, I'm going to go through this and give you modern English, okay, without changing the words. See, a lot of times when you're reading the King James Version of the Bible, which is what I'll be teaching from, some of the old English was hard to understand. It was for me. It was confusing throughout most of my life till I changed that. I got down to the nitty-gritty. I'll cover that as we go. So I challenge you, though, to listen to this with one goal in mind as I teach this. And what's that goal? And that is to truly understand God's Word. That's all I'm asking you to do. Surely you want to understand God's Word, not man's traditions. Do you understand God's Word? Being raised in a Christian home, going to church two or three times a week, and talking with literally thousands of people over the years about the Bible, the most common issue with most people is that they've read the Bible but really don't understand it. I know you've met other people that says that. As I was growing up and trying to understand God's Word, I often felt as if there had to be more to it than I was being taught. One example was that there was so many words in the King James Version, as I explained, that it's just not used in modern English today, which made it really hard to understand. Finally, one of the most knowledgeable Bible scholars today suggested that I get myself a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I recommend you do that. It turned out to be one of the best suggestions ever for someone wishing to understand any word in the King James Version of the Bible. As I started looking up and looking up every word, any and all the words I looked up, left me perplexed or didn't seem to make sense. Those words that don't make sense to me, that left me perplexed, like I say. What happened was the pieces of the puzzle began to come together, and I finally understood Word of God better than I ever have in my life, and I want to help you do the same. It wasn't long before my ability to understand the Word of God that my desire to help other people understand exploded within me. It was like God was saying, yeah, this is what I need you to do. I need you to help other people understand. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians will help you to see more clearly what the Holy Spirit was leading Paul to explain to each of us. When you truly understand it, you will also know why I named this writing Busting the Rapture Theory. Okay? Note that I copy each verse from I take it right straight from the King James Version of the Bible, and then I rewrite it simply using the words that should make more sense to you. So, as I work through this, I hope you'll be patient with me and let me help you understand the Word of God, because it is truly an amazing thing. I'm not kidding you when I say that. It is truly an amazing thing to understand the Word of God. So it's going to be fun. Hang with me, and let's see if you can really finally grasp what happened to me, and hopefully you'll know the truth as the Word of God wants us to know it. So with that said, I do want to reiterate this. My goal was to do this without changing the true meaning of what Paul and the Holy Spirit wanted Christ followers to understand. I mean, we made it very clear in the Bible that you don't change it. You don't change the Word of God. Yet a lot of people tell me that they go to church their whole lives and the pastor might read one or two or the school Sunday school teacher might read one or two verses or maybe even three or four verses and then make up things. I guess you could call it. They're not really making up things. They're trying to make points about the Bible, but you don't have to do that. When you study the Word of God chapter by chapter, verse by verse, it's one of the most beautiful stories ever told. It is a history book. It is His story. Whose story? It's God's story. I want you to understand God's story, and what He wanted us to understand was how we can live successful lives in fresh bodies. The weak part of the flesh is the hard part. But see, when you were born in the flesh, remember as a baby, you knew nothing. You don't remember the first earth age. And I understand that's why a lot of people have trouble understanding it. But once you understand the first earth age, let me tell you something. The whole Bible starts to make sense. It never made any sense to me till I understood that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, I'll go back there. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, what happened to us? it was made pretty clear. It says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It didn't tell us how long that took, didn't tell us how long it lasted, but He created the heavens and the earth. And then what happens in verse 2? It says, and the earth, this is King James Version, and the earth was without form and void. Now, you know, what in the world, why would God make something that was without form and void? Why would He do that? It didn't make sense. It don't make sense if you think about it that way. So you get to study of the Hebrew manuscripts, and you start looking at things in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, like since the foundations of the earth, or since the foundations of the world, and you get to looking into the Hebrew manuscripts, and you understand that it was referring back to that first earth age. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void. Look up that word was in Hebrew. I challenge you. And if you look it up, it simply says became. So the first earth age, what happened was God made every soul and put them here on earth. This was our place of habitat. God made this place for us and for Him, which He'll reign in glory forever. His kingdom's going to be here. That's why when people tell me they're going to be raptured away, I go, where are you going? Well, I'm going to heaven. Where is heaven? Heaven's wherever God is. Well, God's going to be here. He tells us that He's going to set up His kingdom right here on earth for 1,000 years. We're going to be in the millennium with Christ. And then God is going to bring His throne here on earth and set up right there in Jerusalem. And we're going to rule and reign here forever and ever with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Father God. So the first earth age ended right there in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. It became void and without form. Why is that? Because God had to decide if He was going to destroy the full one-third of His children that had turned on Him, or was He going to start over and we all be born blank. We're all going to be born blank from water, through water. That's what giving birth means when a woman's water breaks and a child's born. But that child's born, you don't remember anything about the first earth age. And why did God do that? Because He wants us to choose between the tree of knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. The same thing our Adam and Eve had to decide. They had to decide, were they going to participate with Satan, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or were they going to participate with the tree of life and do it God's way? That's the challenge for all of us. And I want you to realize that that is a very powerful thing to know. Thank y'all all for listening to today's Health Update. We're going to dig into 1st and 2nd Thessalonians next week. Until next time, may God bless all of us with abundant health.
Now you know why today's Health Update is called the fastest 30 minutes on the radio. Making the right decisions becomes so much easier when you know the truth. If you would like to know more about products, call 256-757-0660. Visit Herbs & More in Athens or NHC Herb Shop in Killen, or visit our website at www.nhcherbs.com. If you would like to hear a show again or share it with someone, go to Herbs & More Athens Facebook page and scroll down to Roy's picture. The shows are uploaded daily. Or go to Podbean on your computer or phone and type NHC19. That's NHC19 in the search bar and scroll down to find the title you wish to listen to. This is Andy Black. Thank you again for listening to today's Health Update.